from your Memorial Day weekend. Hi, guys. Hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend. I'm going to fade this out. Woo, it's hard to get back in the groove of things after you've been off for so many days. Kind of makes you just want to take off the whole summer. Not. God's like, not. He's not going to let you do it. Okay, so how many people out there feel like you are absolutely running a marathon? You're absolutely in your 18th mile. You're absolutely stretched beyond your limits, but absolutely maintaining your faith. How many people feel like that? Trying to stay in faith with God, trying to stay in alignment with God, trying to keep believing the best is what he's telling us he's going to do in C2. Hello, we're coming right down that pike right now. Well, we're coming into the pressure of C2, like I told you would happen. And I've given you some good things up here on the board, like don't give up, gas me up. You can do this. You've got this. Motivation. Put it up there. Good vibes. It's all good. It's all for you. It's all for you. Trying to keep us on the same page, same spiritual page. So, you know, if that's you right now, you're not the only ones. God's stretching you beyond your limits. I'm sorry, my nose itches. He's stretching us beyond anything that we've ever experienced before in our faith. And if that is you, then you're probably aligned to head on out of the old and into the new. But, you know, people get tired of hearing the same message over and over again. They're kind of like, okay, tell me some information. Tell me some information about what's going on in our world right now. What's going on with our this coup. Tell me what's going on with all this stuff, because nobody seems to really have any real pat answers. But the only thing I can really tell you with that is that, you know, God gave you a mission. He gave you a promise, the beginning of your journey. And most of the time, he gives us prophetic promises. He gives us a prayer assignment to help us start out strong with. And that's what hopefully drives you through the journey. It's kind of like holding a piece of cheese in front of you while you're moving forward. And it's not that he's trying to, you know, manipulate you into anything. He's trying to see, you know, what you're going to believe. Because C2 is a battle of the mind. C2 is where you have holy fire versus strange fire coming at you. And God allows it to test your mind. And it gets confusing sometimes. But you still got to hang on to the truth. You've got to hang on to what God told you in the beginning. It doesn't matter what you sense. It doesn't matter what you feel. All those attributes have nothing to do with your faith. They're two separate entities. Your faith and your emotions are two separate entities. I've said it a million times. And God's trying to see, you know, how much do you believe the best of a holy God? Because that's going to transpire into your relating with each other. How much goodness do you expect from people around you? Because love expects the best of people. And so we're at this place. God told me on Friday, and I got a little panicked. I was like, what does that mean? But he told me, he said, you know, we're at this crossroads right now. We're at this crossroads in America right now. You're at a crossroads. The church is at a crossroads. You're at a personal crossroads right now with your believing what you're believing me for. And one or two things are going to happen. It's either going to go very, very south and things are fixing to get hot real quick, or it's fixing to get very, 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 very good. And things are fixing to get very, very good really, really quick. So I'm a believer in happy endings. I don't know about you. And don't get me wrong, because I've had my faith challenged just like you. And wondering where this is all going and being frustrated with not knowing. But I really, really believe the place that God's trying to get us into is this place of not listening to fake news, but listening to only the good news. We're only relying upon what he says, not what the news says, not what the prophets are saying, although you need to listen to the true prophets. But now it's getting even hard to recognize them. Pardon me. And that's all going to be contingent upon your own heart condition, because like draws like. If you've got a messed up heart, I'm shooting straight up with you. If your heart's screwed up and you haven't gotten free and you haven't been diligent about trying to go through deliverance and being honest with the Lord about what's going on inside you, you're going to be drawn to people like yourself. They're going to be drawn to you. Like draws like. And so we've got a lot of people following and being duped. That actually brings me to the topic actually today. The 15-Minute Rev's topic is called Not Being Duped by Dummies, False Crowns, and Rulership. Choosing Truth. I thought, well, that's an interesting title, Lord. My father always told me, you become who you hang around. So you become who you hang around. Hey, Stacy. Hi, Ada. Hi, Tammy. So you become who you hang around. And if you've got people around you that tell you the truth and you're willing to hear it, even when it hurts, because it will course correct you, it will save your life. And, you know, this whole conversation today is going to go into that, about how God sends us really loving people in hard seasons to keep us in alignment. And I don't know, I hope you have a prayer partner. I hope you have a decree partner that you make decrees with daily, and that then you apply the word to your own life, and you ask the Lord, you're honest to the Lord about what's going on inside of you. Lord, does this word pertain to me first? It always starts with us first. I had to look at this word today and I said, does this pertain to me first? Am I the dummy? No, we could be. So it all starts with us first. So when we're honest with ourselves and we're honest with God, things change. Things change and they start moving in the correct direction. But if you're duped by every wind and doctrine and you're just coming to be entertained, I mean, you're setting yourself up for failure, because that means that you're not there to serve. You're there to be served. You're there to be entertained like a child. And God says, I'm coming back for a mature bride. He doesn't want to marry you. He doesn't want a child bride. He doesn't want a child bride. He wants a mature, beautiful bride who's a warring bride, who understands who truth is, not what their version of truth is. I know I have a relationship with truth. I have a relationship and I recognize his voice and I know his heart. Whew, and he's here. I recognize him when he walks in the room and I only have eyes for him. Is that you? So that brings us into what else is hitting you right now. What is witchcraft hitting the body with before we jump into this message today? Because it's fixing to get interesting really quick. But stress. Have you felt like in the last month that you have been stressed to the gills more so than ever in your life? That's because God is stretching you. He's making room for himself. He's widening a place in your spirit, man, to make room for his landing pad. He's fixing to land on a few of you. Not all of you. Some of you think he is. He's like, you're like, here I am, God. And you're some people in their own arrogance. And he's like, do a flyby. He's just like, doing a flyby. Nope, not there. Nope, not this one. Nope. Let's rest on this one. And he's picking and choosing. He's being very picky in this hour. We'll get into that here in a second too. Have you felt like you're overly busy? Trying to feel like if you don't do something quick, something bad's going to happen. Trying to get ahead of God. Trying to stay on top of everything without realizing that sometimes you just have to trust him. We can't make anything change. Only God can make things change. And that's if we all get into alignment and we get into agreement and unity. So there are a lot of things happening spiritually that I told you would happen in C2. I told you this was going to happen. And we are dealing with holy fire versus strange fire, which can cause a lot of confusion to the point that we begin to doubt what God has initially spoken and promised to us. Is that you? But the key to passing this test, and this really has stood out in my spirit the last week and a half, and I haven't mentioned it until today, but it really is the truth. Do you believe that God loves you? And I know that sounds trite, but if you know how much God loves you, then you're going to rest in the fact of knowing that he's going to finish what he started. You're not going to get into this guessing game and this second guessing God and trying to figure things out and staying ahead of him. And I got to do this and do this. You don't have to do anything. If he told you he's going to do something, he's a God that keeps his promises. Now, decreeing a thing, if he's given you a prayer assignment, you're in a building process, so you got to keep building with him. But if you know that God loves you based on John 16:27, which states, no, the Father himself loves you because you've loved me and have believed that I came from God. So Jesus is trying to get people to differentiate their understanding of love. He's trying to get us to understand that God's love isn't conditional, not like ours is. Ours is pretty conditional, if you ask me. So when we know God loves us, we know nothing is impossible with him. Nothing. So the key again, while we're journeying through the second portion of God's heart, there's chamber one, chamber two, chamber three, chamber four. You have four chambers to your heart, right? So in chamber one, while you're learning to move with Christ through the seasons of his heart, being sons and daughters, knowing the signs and the times, we're moving from faith to faith and glory to glory. You're working with God so he can rewrite your story. And you're learning to stay aligned. You're learning to get free. And you're coming into higher levels of trust and love and understanding who he is. Not who I think he is. It's who he says he is. So the second chamber, second portion is the hardest part. And again, I ask you, how well do you take a test? Because chamber two, the fiery portion, is all about refinement, to where everything not of Christ is burned off, to where we develop his mind. It's a battle of the mind. You ever read Joyce Meyer's book? Go check it out. Battlefield of the Mind. Perfect book for C2. Taking our thoughts captive. Matter of fact, taking your thoughts captive is one of the hardest things to do in our walks, to me, because we have 1,000 different things flying through our minds every day. And you've got to think about what you're thinking about. When you're being tested, you've got to, when you're trying to stay on focus and trying to pray something in, you've got to really stay on the word, and you've got to stay on focused on the truth of what the word says, not on my version of truth, because then your emotions slip in. Hey, good afternoon, everybody. When your emotions start slipping in there, they start trying to talk you out of truth. Your feelings will talk you out of truth. You start getting fearful, and fear starts trying to talk you out of truth. And you start getting afraid that God might disappoint you like man disappoints you, or that, you know, God may not find you worthy of doing the thing you're asking him for. Or what is the other one the enemy comes at us with? Or that we're fearing that we're going to be set up for a disappointment like all the other times in the past where maybe you prayed amiss, because your heart wasn't rightly aligned and your motives were off in what you were praying for. So C2 is a great refining tool to show you what's of God and what's not. So it's a battle of the mind, to where if something is of God, let me tell you the good news about this. This is the best news. God will order your footsteps all the way through C2. He will give you confirmation after confirmation. He will send in the right people. He will send in the right vessels to help affirm you, to help prepare you, to guard your vessel, to help you finish what he's called you to do. And he'll confirm himself in the test. And all you got to do is hold on like a bulldog. That's all you got to do. C2 is a testing ground for the thing you're praying for. So let's move into the other part of the conversation. So we're either going to believe all the witchcraft pummeling us, all the strange fire we're being assailed with, or we're going to believe the best of a holy God. Those are our choices. Only two. God's keeping it simple. Only two. So, many of you, again, are in your 18th mile. A lot of us are feeling spent. Just got off the phone with a lot of people in the last 2 hours, where people are like, God, where have you been? Where have you been, Missy Hurt? Well, I'm not the Savior, please. Only he is. But I mean, people make it, where have you been? I wanted to say that to them. Where have you been? I did not move. I am, I'm trying to stand steadfast. I'm trying to lock my face and put my face to the ground and keep stay on the down low, to where I've got my eyes focused on him. I'm trying to stay focused. That's why I haven't been around. I've been on here. But if you meet me outside of here, hey guys, good afternoon. If you met me outside of here, I'm extremely focused to the point that I don't go do sushi on Friday nights, and not for a while, not until I get this prayer assignment done. We are focused, locked in, got the devil locked into our crosshairs, and we're rocking and rolling with this thing. Hope that's you. So if you're feeling spent, God's also equipped you to finish what you're doing spiritually. You're not here by accident. If he didn't think that you were equipped to do the job, he would have never lifted you up for such a time as this. But witchcraft is rising to the point that it's almost through the roof because so many are connecting with it. That's part of the problem too. So many people are getting in alignment with witchcraft. So the more people aligned with it, even people that are, I'm going to say, accidentally connecting with it because they don't know better. And then we have dummies who are connecting with it who do know better, and they're choosing because they're serving a different God. And if we don't know how to maneuver through and trust God through the confusion, by the way, God's not the author of confusion. He'll allow it into our testing to see how well we listen to him and trust him. But if we don't learn to follow that voice, that small, still voice, you're going to get duped every time, and you're going to get stuck in C2. You do not want to get stuck in this part of his heart. It's the most stressful place to get stuck in. And guess what? If you fail the test, guess who gets to go around the mountain again? I don't want to do another lap around this mountain. I don't want to do it at this place. Maybe at another place, not this place. But this is where 85% of the body's at. So this is why we have so many immature Christians. At present, it seems daunting. The witchcraft seems daunting, and it's going to get even more precious as we move closer to the 9th of Av. It's in August this year. My suggestion, pardon me, is that you spend time with the Lord, letting him put his finger on some issues of your heart, like fear, doubt, unbelief, discouragement, depression, hopelessness, despair, any other thing he's mentioning. Let him take it off. If you've got access to deliverance ministers, let them take you through deliverance ministry. Every time we go into prayer, we go through deliverance every single time. God, point out any hurtful thing. Point out anything in me that's not aligned with you. Every time. It's going to have to become second nature to us if we're going to move forward and keep moving forward and advancing. Because the darkness is getting darker, by the way. So going back to my initial conversation with you about things going south, or things going very, 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 very good. I believe, because the Lord had told me last Friday, the latter glory that's coming onto the scene. We haven't hit the latter glory yet. This is where you need to know the word. Not like I'm an expert on it, but I do know we haven't hit the latter glory yet. You can check that out with other true prophets like Kat Kerr, Hank Kuhneman, Kurt Landry. But check it out with these true prophets and what they're saying. But God is a good God. He's going to have his plan. He's going to work his plan his way. The devil can come in like a flood and try to do any type of thing they want to with the WHO, but they're going to lose because God will crater their system. The Lord told me this on Friday. He said, Missy, you know why I'm bringing in the latter rain? And I was like, no, sir. To bring people into you? And he said, no, I want to give them a foretaste of what it's like to walk in the New Jerusalem. Because if I give you a taste of it, you'll always hunger and thirst after me. He goes, so I always give you a ladder or a double portion and an anointing to finish the race. Kind of like in your 18th mile that you think you're just running aimlessly along, trying to fulfill by yourself. And the Lord said, no, I'm gearing you up for a new mantle. I'm making room for myself, so that I can equip you to finish what I've started in you. Lord says, I always finish what I start. Will you? That's where we're at right now. So in this season, you're either going to look at the fake news, even if glancing, and you're going to take it at face value when you know it's not the real news, because the devil in them is a liar. So the only news we need to probably be plugged into is the good news, which is going to keep you strong. It's going to keep you connected. And matter of fact, right now, I don't watch the news. I look at like true news stations here and there, but I don't look at it every day because there's just more to life. I have other things that are more pertinent to focus on, and I'm focused on him. So it keeps me encouraged, but there's a strong sifting that has started now because of this confusion that I've talked to you about that the Lord is purposefully allowing. The strange fire versus the holy fire. It serves as a sifting tool. He's sifting the wheat, the true Davids, from the chaff, the Sauls. And I told you on Friday, Saul's on his way out. The Davids are on their way in. And what's even funnier is that there are a lot of arrogant mouths out there who think they're Davids. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I hope I am. But I have to laugh sometimes because it's like, God, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. So, and you know what? Humility will take you a long way, because if you really want to know, I get kind of afraid to even say something like that. I'm like, God, I hope that's me. I pray that's me. I pray that I can humble myself before you. And if there's any hurtful way in me, anything that doesn't align with you that you don't like, take it away from me. Please take it away from me. And I'm not being facetious by laughing. I just think it's just like the devil to, he's just so full of pride. His people are so freaking full of pride. They're like, oh, it's me. Okay. Whatever. Okay, so let's go move on. So a lot of people, actually, I think are going to be really shocked to find out which category they land in, especially the Sauls. So God is filtering out all mouth gates who speak words outside of God's will. And he's aligning all mouth gates aligned with truth. And what God says truth is, not man's version of it. Not Balaam's or Jezebel's or religion's version, but love's version. So that's part of the sifting that's going on too. So you're going to really start seeing a differentiation between the truth and a lie. And God said, how will you know my people? By his warm, unconditional love within them. You're just going to know, because love is a universal language. And if you've never known love, then you're in a pickle. You're really kind of going to have a more difficult time than others. But if you've known love, Joseph, and you've never given up on love, even through all your testings the last 30 years, and you've experienced it before and all throughout the hell you were walking through, you refuse to let go of the real deal. You're like, nope, I'm not settling for that. And things would, like the fake would cross your path. And you'd be like, nope, not God. Bam, nope, not God. Nope, that's not love. Boom, nope, that's not love. You wouldn't settle for anything less than the best, because you know, you knew what you had before. And you've been spending this time with the Lord. And I don't even think a lot of us realize what we were looking for. But it was a higher level of him. A higher spirit, a higher level of his spirit. And it's now coming into fruition and landing on some of you. Hopefully me. Hey, Serge, good to see you. So you're settling for God's version. And true love is the only spirit that can align us with himself. And that's if we truly know him. Many say, Lord, but have no relationship with him. They're just giving lip service. And so in this season, we're beginning to see who is truly in relationship with God and who's just giving lip service to him. That's the differentiation of this testing season for CT. So those fake friends that stand in the outer courts with the gnashing of teeth, despising all hearts who are truly aligned, we're fixing to see them show up too. And they're going to be showing up in bushels, because their flesh is going to stand out like a sore thumb. Which brings us to the story of David. And I thought I'll put that in there. Let me see something real quick. I took that out by accident. Did I? Hold on one second. I can look at it on here. But it's a story about Absalom, actually. It's 2 Samuel 17, 1 through 29. It's about wordsmithing. When Hushai, and he was an absolutely phenomenal wordsmith, but he was also a master of metaphors. And he was used by God to manipulate Absalom. God set Absalom up because he was full of pride. He was always trying to usurp authority. He always thought he knew more than his dad, his father, David. And so he was set up by God through a servant named Hushai, who was expertly speaking around issues without offending him, preying, P-R-E-Y-I-N-G, on his pride. That's what the devil does to people like that. But setting him up, showing what was really inside him to everybody around him. Because he knew that if he played on his ego, it would pique the spirit of arrogance within him. And arouses weaknesses, which would also be used for his own demise. Now, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is death. And sometimes we think we know more than God. We think we know so much that we seem to forget who's in control. And I think it's really imperative in this season where we let God fight our battles and we don't try to do things on our own. Now, that's proving itself every bit true in my life right now. Every bit true. And sometimes we can think that battles are going on for forever, even when we deal with immature, ungodly people. But God is setting these people up in this hour because he's doing a sifting. And that's why I said, let me fight this battle for you. Don't you fight it, because if you put your hands on it, that's all the vindication you're going to get. And you have to also remember, God's in it for all hearts, just not just for mine, not just for yours. He's actually trying to get many, many people free. And so what Absalom didn't know and what the enemy did know was that the more he opened Absalom up to his own shortcomings, the more he would break spiritual laws to where God would have to judge him and the devil would never even have to lift a finger. Sometimes the Lord gives us over to our flesh when we refuse to submit to his ways. 1 Corinthians 5:5. Or the destruction of the flesh, he'll give you over to the enemy. And let the enemy be used to teach you a very, very hard lesson about yourself because you refuse to comply. And so Hushai compared David in Absalom's eyes to an angry bear or a fierce lion. So he played on Absalom's arrogance in making him think he should have been king. He was trying to dupe him into usurping his father's authority. So afterwards, Hushai talked him into leading a large army or trying to build and lead a large army against David while setting him up for defeat. Because David's son was too immature to see he was no match for his father. His father was a brilliant strategist. How do you think David outmaneuvered Saul? He was a brilliant strategist. He inquired of the Lord for everything. He included God in everything, even when he was being pursued by Saul. So be careful when others play on your ego, because in doing so, they might just be setting you up for a fall. I get leery of people like this when people try to play on my ego. Oh, Dr. Missy, da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. You don't know me. You don't know me. And I'm not trying to be rude in saying that, but it takes time to develop healthy relationships with people. It takes time for God to unfold a heart or a heart condition. It takes time to develop good lifelong relationships. Love takes time. That's why God takes his time with us. He wants to know who we are. What's in us? Are we who we say we are? So be careful of these types in this season. So it's also another reason why we have to know our own hearts and our own weaknesses and constantly stay in humility. Because humility always keeps God first in all things, to where he can show us the truth about all things, even when we think we're right. Sometimes we can think we're so right and we're so wrong. So wrong. And I see it in leadership. I see it in the sheep. I see it in family. I see it at work. I see it everywhere. People have this perception, and perception is reality, but what if your perceptions or your filters are off? What if your picker's off? You ever heard of that? What if your picker's off? You marry the wrong person? You pick the wrong friends time and time again? You get involved in the wrong job over and over again? Because your picker's off. Your perception's off. God's saying, let me heal you. Let me heal you. Because there will always be people, pardon me, who in this season, we're starting to see a lot of people who are just chasing after the latest and greatest fad, or people who give them instant satisfaction or instant gratification, or it's an entertainment factor. I don't know what it is for you. Usually it's the same spirit, a familiar spirit, like draws like, because you haven't chosen to get free. Or they haven't chosen to get free. So hence you keep going around this mountain over and over and over again in those relationships, continually drawing unhealthy people. Goofy people. People who aren't honest with you. They're not who they say they are. And yet you find yourself in this pattern thinking, how did I land here? How did that happen to me again? Could it be you didn't inquire of God? and keep him first, because he would have shown you had you been aligned and inquired. So he's a gentleman like that. So there's a lot of integrity, takes a lot of integrity and discipline, which is what happened in David's day when all these men went running after Absalom. And they were, oh, yeah, Absalom, we're going to help you be king. Yay. And then there were the loyal ones that stayed back with David. And they were the fierce ones. They were the ones who knew how to stand and be disciplined in faith and wait on God. They're like, nah, looks like, sounds like, but it's not the real deal. They knew. They saw the immaturity. They saw the arrogance in Absalom. And they saw his demand to have his own way instead of respecting elders and respecting the anointing on his father. That's... So, takes a lot of discipline because only God knows the heart. And so God sometimes sets us up to see ourselves and to allow everybody else to see us as well. Are you who you say you are? And thinking more of ourselves than we ought. If we don't get a grip on that in this season, God's pointing everybody like this out. Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon. Welcome. If you think more of yourself than you ought, you can lose destiny. You can lose kingdom. Because we fail to see who's God and who's not. And it's what God wants. It's what truth wants in this hour. God's trying to align us in all truth. He's trying to see if we recognize him in all places instead of getting caught up in all the confusion and all the hoopla. Is making sense to you? That's what C2 is all about. Are you easily caught up in all the hoopla? Because it's all a witchcraft ploy to get us to follow and go down any bunny trail that the enemy places in front of us. Are you good at waiting? Are you good at disciplining yourself and saying, I'm not going to make one more move until God unfolds this thing? And sometimes it seems like you wait forever and you're like, God, do you know I've got bills due? Or God, do you see what they're doing? This is getting kind of stressful with this situation because of people's bad behavior. God, and God's like, just wait. It's kind of like in General George S. Patton's day, where he got the enemy right almost up to the front line. And he was like, wait. And they're like, tell me when. Say when, General. Say when. And he's like, now, fire. Boom. And he blew him away. The enemy got blown away. Because God knows the right timing. Everything's made beautiful in its own time. You got to trust God in these things. He sees in the end from the beginning in all your situations. How well do you stay aligned with him? How well do you obey him? How well do you discipline yourself to listen to him and not do one thing until he tells you exactly what to do? That's where we're at. So God, in these hard places, without discernment or proper alignment and relating with true prophets or loving prophets, we can get lost. We can get misled in the confusion. And God will always make sure. And it's like in David's day, there was a woman and they were very, and it wasn't just her, it was people around her, around David, who looked out for David. They were making sure he was well taken care of because they recognized he served the true and living God. So they positioned themselves to guide him in his journey, just like God is positioning certain people for you in your journey. As you make your way forward to take test after test in Christ to make sure you stay on the right path. Just like Jacob did when he saw the angels who guided him into his new land. And like Jacob, David's angels were these loving people who cared for him. They looked out for him even when people in his own family didn't. It's because God knew that as long as we live, as long as his sheep exist, there will always be sheep that are self-serving. And some of them, they say, Lord, Lord, but they're not even his sheep. So He's taking the time to sift and to differentiate, and he's showing the truth from a lie. That even includes people in leadership. There are some people that say, Lord, Lord, leadership, but you know, you have to discern a thing. You have to inquire a thing. Inquire of the Lord about a thing. Let God unfold a thing to see who people are. But it's those loving people that help us stay on the straight and narrow road. And the true prophets around Absalom saw that he would lose the battle, just like Judas Iscariot did, committing suicide in the end. So this was a setup from the Lord to expose Absalom to all around him. Just wait. Lord's saying, just wait now. I've got this. God said, you've got this? No, I've got this. I've got this. Don't give up. Gas me up. You can do this. You got good vibes going around you. You're listening to the true and living God. Good vibes. Hey, let's keep going. Okay, so it's one thing, you know, as a leader to counsel others. Well, we can think we have wisdom to share, but with a misaligned heart outside of love, the only thing you're sharing are your own bumblings. That's the only thing you're sharing, because it's an entirely different thing to counsel yourself and then inquire of the Lord as to what we need to know and how we've strayed from the truth and love. So it's why we have so many in the church today doing their own thing without realizing they're being set up for a failure. Do you understand? God will set you up for a fall sometimes to show you who's God and who's not. And the judgment is already on the way because of your refusal to repent and turn in the right direction. If you know anything about David, God instructed him all along the way to where he never got involved within the testing of his son Absalom. You ever notice that? Because the test from God was not for David in this particular situation, but for his son, in hopes that he would own his own shortcomings. David had already humbled himself and repented after Bathsheba. But when people see our shortcomings, sometimes they can wrongfully judge us because of they don't know the end from the beginning. They don't know your heart condition. They don't know if even if you've repented. And like I believe what happened in David's circumstances, his children saw this testing with Bathsheba, but they didn't know he had humbled himself. So they can get too familiar with you and they think, well, I don't have to respect you. You're not as godly as me. How do you know? You don't know what I do in my quiet time. Yeah, you know, okay, so they can discount and they can judge wrongfully, discounting that person's ability to lead effectively. But I believe this attitude is the spirit of pride. Because if you know anything, and if you're inquiring of the Lord, you're letting God lead you and show you all things about people. It's not my place to judge people. There are no perfect people. But a humble heart will be the most effective heart because they know that people are going to fail them. That heart's faith is not in people. That heart's faith is in a holy God. And that heart has learned to wait on holy God to show them all things about people around them. You got to keep God first in everything, man. You really, really do in this hour. C2 is one of the hardest testing grounds you'll ever walk through, but it's one of the best tests you'll ever walk through to learn discipline and waiting on God, discipline and discerning God, what's of God, what's not. You're learning trusting God, and you're learning to know that He loves you. Even if it's hard, even if it gets hot, these are all the things that C2 incorporates into your walk. So this brings us to John 19:23-42. We're doing okay. We're at 39 minutes at the top of the hour. Yeah. So 39 minutes into the program, but it's talking about the crown. John 19:23-42. It talks about the crown. Which kingdom are you in? True ruling and reigning. And it actually occurred between a discussion between Jesus and Pilate. And I thought they'd been talking about kingdom, about a kingdom and whose they each represented. So Pilate thought it was only right that the king had a crown. Hence, he mocked Jesus by giving him one made of thorns. Because he thought, man thought that he was above God's kingdom. And he's like, in Pontius's eyes, Pontius Pilate, he thought that, well, let me just show you, you know, that I'm in charge. Let me show you that I'm in control. Let me show you that I'm the one here that rules and reigns. And at any second, Jesus could have squashed him like a bug, man. But he was humble enough, and he was just walking out his circumstances. He was walking through that test. He had a hard test to walk through, if you think about that. So, you know, it's interesting when we meet people who say they know kingdom, yet their walks are full of pride and arrogance where their hearts are in no way representing the true and living God. Pilate represented this. And you know, yeah, I have to agree, kingdom's merciful. It's loving, but even much more, very truthful. But in order to walk in kingdom, we have to have the Father's heart, not a heart of flesh. And If you know anything about Jesus, he didn't have anything to prove to Pilate. As he truly did and does rule over heaven's kingdom, he could have smote Pilate again like a bug. But love's ways aren't our ways. Yeah, discipline. Pilate's ways or leadership style weren't heaven's ways. Yet we have so many false leaders leading God's sheep down the wrong pathways toward their own way instead of God's heart. Ever thought about that? If you're not getting something out of a leader's sermons or something, if you're not getting truth, if you're not getting corrected, if you're not getting realigned and being set on a better pathway towards freedom, something's wrong there. There should be an anointing there, first of all. If the anointing's not there, there's no ability for you to change because only God can change a heart. And it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. You know, and there's a way that seems right to a man or a woman, but it's in his death. And if we're following the flesh on a leader instead of a spirit, we're already in trouble. We're already in trouble. So if we know anything about a crown is a sign of victory, which depicts that Jesus has overcome. And then if you know anything about the cross, when Jesus picked up his cross, he started carrying his own cross until Simon volunteered to carry it for him. We aren't really told why, but considering all Jesus had been through all the losses he had already endured, he'd been beaten beyond recognition. It's not hard to believe that he needed a little help towards the end of his journey. Do you need a little help towards the end of this journey in the 18th mile? That's why God's putting loving people around you. He's saying, okay, I know you've already gone through a lot of loss. I know it's been hard, but I'm here. I'm just teaching you to wait on me. Trust in me. Ooh, there's an anointing here. Ooh, God, thank you, Lord. And just like the Josephs walking with Christ now, those leaders who have been through testing after testing to the point that they are exhausted, and yet God is saying, in only a little while, you'll see what I set you up for to rule and reign over in only a little while. And when God told me that statement, my eyes got about as big as quarters because I was like, oh, okay, let's go. Right on. Encouragement. So, you know, you have to know something else about the cross, though. In Jesus's day, and this is what's happening to a lot of people who are having to press in right now. We're having to press through with our crosses and with the losses. But in Jesus's day, criminals carried a cross as a sign of guilt. But there are some who carry crosses or losses as a sign of enhanced power, to where God has now begun to lay his super on their natural. That's why he gave you the cross to begin with. Because you laid your life down. You said, God, here I am. Send me. God, take it all away from me. Make room for yourself. And even all through all the wrongful judgments coming at us, wrongful perceptions and people saying, you're not of God, or this is not of God, or you're out of alignment with God, you're not in alignment with my religion. I don't want your religion. Your religion got an innocent man killed. I don't want your brand of love. I want his. And only he can show me that. Only he can show you that. But they're at a place where others have wrongfully judged them to the point that at the end of the test, now, as we enter into the end of this test, hello, we're trying to get through the ninth of Av, God's fixing to announce not guilty, just like he did when Joseph was appointed the second man in power over Egypt. Not guilty. All the brothers thought he was guilty. And he was going through the test to help save them, because after Jesus got up on his cross, he cried, it is finished. Pardon me, where those words are the words of a conqueror, meaning that he knew he had nothing to prove about who he was or where he stood as a king and a leader. But those who feel inferior, like the Absaloms, they will always explain themselves away or try to justify their wrongs or their right to rule so wrongly when God has not installed them. Always remember, man's kingdom can be shaken. God's cannot. We're in a shaking season. We're in a sifting season. Which brings us to Psalms 119, 129 through 152. And it talks about living by the word of God. when the only thing you live by is his word, his very next word. Always remember that God's, all it takes is one word from God to change a thing. So what you're doing in C2 is you're learning to get a word from God, and then you're decreeing a thing, decreeing a thing, decreeing a thing, and then you're waiting on the next instruction, the next word. And then you take your next step. So with each word, he carries you forward through revelation, prophetic revelation, in prayer. And then you begin decreeing a thing, decreeing a thing, decreeing a thing. Because as the word comes forward, it's taking you somewhere. That's how you find out God's will in a situation. It will either carry you away from a thing, or it will take you deeper into a thing, into blessing. Hallelujah. So when we live by the word of God, our lives become wonderful because of the kingdom and obedience, not to our ways, but to God's. And when we feed on the word of God, our minds and lives are transformed to where all we radiate is kingdom living and love. And you know, it's not always fun having to walk through a test. It's not always fun. I don't know about you. I don't like all the testings I go through, but you know, welcome to our world. If you're going to walk out kingdom, you're going to live the rest of your life taking them. Because that's what we do. And then when we walk on the earth, we're going from faith to faith and glory to glory while God has you move into the rest of your story and into resurrection life. That's what your goal is. That's what your goal should be if it's not. But it also means that at some point in our walks, we're going to have to confront things about ourselves that don't align with God's kingdom if you've gotten stuck in man's. And our ways aren't God's ways. And no matter how zealous we are for God's truth or kingdom, we have to know that we have to have his righteousness, which is, that's a depiction on what God says is right versus what I think is right, so that we can stay set apart from a sinful world, showing them a better way to walk. If I just blend in with them, why would they want to serve my God? Think about that. You act just like as much as hell like I do. That's what a lot of people think in the world. You act just as much like I do. Why do I want to serve your God? Show me something different about you. Show me something better about your life. Show me why I should serve him. Because there are no substitutes for integrity or for loving the word of God. We have to obey it. You have to obey it. When you excuse yourself away, even leaders, when you excuse yourself away, thinking, well, I've been in this a while. I've been to a few rodeos. Well, good for you. You've also fallen out of the saddle. You need to get back up. You need to stand back up in God's standard. I don't care how many rodeos I don't care how many you've been to. I've been to a few rodeos and I've seen a few clowns. Really? And it's not so funny when the bull nabs you in the butt with his horn. It's not funny anymore. You got to take the bull by the horns and you got to get over this thing and get on with it. You got to get back up if you're going to lead effectively and quit making excuses for things you do behind the scenes versus who you say you are behind a pulpit, because your sin will find you out. So the psalmist cries out through the word of God in this particular scripture because the word of God helps us stay aligned with God's truth. And in order to stay aligned, we've got to get willing to get honest about our weaknesses in order to walk effectively. The more we know the word and what it says, the more our ways should align. But it means the more we pray God's will, because the more we understand God's truth and what God honors versus what I think he says or what I want his word to say. Jesus said he only prayed and said what his father was saying. Basically, Psalms 37:23. He only prayed what he heard his father saying. So if he's not saying anything, then I'm still listening, right? You're still waiting for him to say something to you. I'm not going to him with my Santa Claus list every time I meet with him. I'm waiting on him and I'm trying to find out what he's got to say about a matter so I can continue forward with the next instruction. And if he's not saying anything, then I'm moving on quietly to the next thing until he does say something again. Doing the last thing that he told me to do until he gives me new direction. But my prayers aren't based on my flesh or my opinions. They're based on God's truth. So it leads us to Proverbs 16, 12 through 13 as we wrap this up today. And it speaks of kings detest wrongdoing, for a throne is established through righteousness. Kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value the one who speaks what is right. Do you have God's attention for the right reasons? Let me stress that. Do you have God's attention for the right reasons? Or is God got you in his crosshairs in this season? And I'm not trying to drive you by fear. God is not a God of fear. There's no fear in love. But I am going to stress to you that God is a God of righteousness. He's a God of justice. He's a God of truth. And right now, with where we're at as of last Friday, we're at a crossroads. Crossroads means something's about to happen. Are you aligned correctly? Are you still screwing around? I'm going to be blunt about this. Are you still messing around, doing your own thing, thinking, well, I'm okay. Nothing bad's happened to me yet. Well, not yet. But for him to say, you know, things are fixing to go south for some people, and they're fixing to get very, 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 very good for other people who are aligned. Which camp do you reside in? Because you can go back to Pete and repeat and go back to listen to the prophets, and you're regurgitating what all the prophets have said, and you're not standing in truth because you don't want to acknowledge the truth is about your own heart. This is the place you need to be willing to change, or God will force you. You can fall on the rock, or the rock can fall on you. This is the crossroads we're now standing at. My name is Dr. Missy Hood. This is the 15-Minute Rev. I want to thank you for joining me today. If you're needing a church home, if you liked what you heard, just check us out up here at ezekielswheel.org. Do enjoy the good vibes. Let me point the right direction. Enjoy good vibes. Do not give up. Definitely, I hope you're gassed up. Because, let me see if I can point this. I don't know how to point this the right direction. Here, I'll do it like this. You can do this. You got this. He's got this. Let me do like this. He's got this. We want you to be motivated. Please know that we do love you. We do love and care about you. We do these every Tuesdays and Fridays. And I hope to continue the journey with you as we move into Friday. But C2 is one of the most difficult times of the year. We all have to go through it if you're continuing to grow in the Lord. And you need to know what you're dealing with. You need to know what's coming at you and what God's saying to you in order to walk effectively through it. I want you to make it through the eye of the needle. I know God does. He wants his whole family around his throne. But we've got to choose to change in order to stand there. So with that, I'm going to leave you. I hope you have a great rest of your day. I'm going to go enjoy my lunch. I haven't had lunch today. So I hope you have a great rest of your day. And until we meet again, you guys be blessed. I'll be talking to you. Bye-bye.